You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Well, I am so excited, Ron. We are in beautiful Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And here we are having coffee with our great friend, Carlos. And Carlos is a business owner, owns a tour company in Puerto Vallarta.
A very popular tour company. And I'm excited because Puerto Vallarta, Mexico is our second home. And we just thought we'd have coffee out here at the marina and talk with our great friend, Carlos. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you very much for coming again. This is your, like way you say, this is your second home, and I'm very happy to have you here with me in my office.
And we're so, you know, we've known you for so many years now, and you've become such a great friend of ours. And I just wanted to ask you some questions because there's so many changes happening in Mexico now. We just had a recent election. And, you know, this is the first time on our program that we've ever had a guest. And so we're trying to give you this honor and have you talk to us about the changes in Mexico.
Thank you very much for inviting me to be the first one, the first guest on the radio. And, yeah, Mexico is, we have a lot of great expectations with the new president. It's a different current. And I hope in the future, this man is a business dealer. He's very good. He was a mayor of Mexico City a couple years ago, approximately 10. And he did the best over many ones before. So he just tried to rebuild the country and rebuild the relationship with our neighbors. And we are very happy. And this man is not a communist. This man is not a socialist. This man just tried to do the best benefits for our people, for our country, and for everyone around us.
You know, it's really interesting, Carlos, because when we hear about this man in the United States in our news, what they say to us is that he's very left-leaning, and they do call him a communist. So it's really interesting to hear your perspective because you don't see it that way. Like you say, he was the mayor in Mexico City, and you said he did a good job. And you were telling us that he built the second level of the freeways, and he made a lot of changes that were positive for the people.
Yes, you're right. This is a nice person. The point is that the competition, the president right now, and Carlos Slim, and Vicente Fox, and Calderon, and Peña Nieto, they, by the TVs, you know, they don't pay much tax, and they say with the government order to say, and they try to ruin and burn his reputation, telling about he's a communist, but he's not a communist, he's not a socialist. We got a lot of oil, we got water, we got a lot of minerals. We are open to the wide world to deal in all the countries.
So you're open for business in Mexico, right?
Yes.
That sounds good to us in America.
Well, you know, one of the things that I like, Carlos, that you brought up is that your new president is a businessman just like our President Trump. And I think we're all kind of sick and tired of politicians no matter what country they come from.
Yeah, you know, And, you know, we were discussing a little bit here earlier that they are both businessmen and that our fervent hope is that they can talk to each other. And I think that you feel the same way.
Yes, and absolutely positive in the future. Just when he takes the rides on December 1st, he's going to start, you know, talking with the border in the south and the north and Europe and China and Asia. You know, it's to bring a lot of investment, more people here to the country, make buildings, a lot of companies. That way we can keep our people working in Mexico.
And that's really important because one of the problems that both of our countries have is that we have a lot of people from Mexico that come up into the United States. And Mexico is a rapidly evolving nation. And those people could find work and do better if the economy and business infrastructure was better in Mexico.
It's absolutely right. We are López Obrador. That's what he say. He mentions many times he's going to work in and makes a few refineries for the oil, for the gasoline, so that we're keeping the people working in Mexico and another kind of business too. And we love to be focused too in the security, in the change, you know, the different ways, the different manners to change that for the life for the Mexicans that living here, for the safe to walk in and drive in the cars to different parts of Mexico to feel safe.
So right.
We got to start a new different philosophy, new different political, different mechanics to work and change all these problems that ex-presidents been doing, selling wet gums to the, you know, drugs cartels,
right.
Drugs dealers. So I hope this man, we have a lot of expectations that he will change for saving security, for economy. And he's very open mind. He's very nice. I saw him when he was here in Puerto Vallarta in the meeting.
Okay, good.
And we're there, and you know, and everybody, a lot of people from the hotels companies, doctors and architects that I know, my neighbors, they were so very, very happy, very happy.
You had a very brutal election season, though, right? There was a lot of politicians that were running on the ballots that were killed.
Yeah, we have a situation in Puebla. In Puebla, is still people, they want to try to keep the same system for their own benefits.
Okay.
That's a problem.
Well, you know, one of the things that I have always found that is very interesting about Mexico that most Americans don't know is that there are many cities and towns in Mexico that are absolutely safe. And as a matter of fact, safer than some of our cities and towns in the United States.
Yes, and Puerto Vallarta is one of those towns.
Puerto Vallarta is one of the safest cities in Mexico. That's why we live here and have a second home here.
That's where I live here.
Well, and besides, it's a beautiful, beautiful city.
It's old Mexico.
Yes, and some of the best food of anywhere in the world, that at least that Ron, you and I have ever been. You know, Carlos, another question that I want to ask you is about our border wall. What do the people here in Puerto Vallarta, how do they feel about the U.S. building a wall?
We are very open mind, and there's a way that they want to do it. That's okay, because they manage their own politics, their own rules. And what I say are the expectations for my new president, that I love him, that's to create jobs, opportunities in our country with the good salaries, not the ones we have in the moment. The moment is like $4 a day. So we have the expectations to recovering the power of the salary of the people in the country. That way we can keep the people stay in Mexico and work. And not to try, you know, to go jumping and running, crossing rivers, you know, is risking their life.
Right.
So we hope, I have a big expectations. Most of the country, the 90% people vote for Andrés Manuel López Obrador. He will create a lot of works, a lot of jobs for the people.
What's interesting? You know, it is a good point. What's interesting is, you know, when we come to Mexico, with us, it's all about the relationships with people. And we love, I'm blessed to be able to speak the language. And when we were getting off of the airplane and we took the taxi to come to our place, we had a nice conversation with the taxi driver. And we talked about the election and how are things going to go. And he says, you know, one of the problems in Mexico is the wages are so depressed. He says, as a taxi driver, I make about $14 a day.
That's crazy.
And in the United States, and it's funny because he used to work in San Bernardino, California,
right,
where he said I was making $16 an hour.
And he thought that was a great wage. And what's interesting now, Ron, is that in the United States, we don't think that that's a great wage in the United States. And that's basically the minimum starting level that, you know, you get to work at McDonald's anymore.
Right.
So So the perspective is completely different. But then you mentioned, Carlos, you said $4 a day. What kind of workers get $4 a day?
The cleaners, the cleaners of the hotels.
Oh, my goodness.
Working, cleaning, changing the bedrooms and
sure.
cleaning the bathroom. And most people, they get tips. But if we drive inland, like Guadalajara, we drive to Tijuana, we drive to Monterrey, the people get a salaries of 80 pesos and 80 pesos a day, maximum 100 pesos a day.
And what would that be in United States dollars, Carlos?
$4.50 for 8 hours,
Of hard work.
Hard work, yes.
Yeah.
And so
that's 50 cents an hour
right.
to us, which is unbelievable.
And that's the reason why a lot of Mexicans that enter our country illegally
want to
do that. That is the incentive, because who wants to make $4.50 a day at hard work when you can start out at $15 an hour with just basic work like at a fast food restaurant?
Yes.
And so that's understandable. What I like, Carlos, what you said, is that your new president is a businessman like our president. So they have a political background, but they are really businessmen. And I think only businessmen can negotiate properly to make things happen.
Exactly. I agree with that, and I have my expectations, and I hope God helps us to get both Donald Trump and my presidents get a very nice relationship and work together and building a very good business for the successful of the both countries and everything running good in the future.
Well, you know, one of the things that we talked about earlier before we had this cup of coffee was that you mentioned that the press gave your president a bad reputation, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, that your neighbors or the competitions, most of the time, you know, they will never tell you nice things about you.
And that's the same thing.
It's true.
And that's true. And that's the same thing that happens in our country with President Trump, because over 90% of all the news about our president is very negative. So Linda and I, when we travel all over the world, we'd love to talk with people like you to find out what people think about our country and what they think about our president.
Well, I'm interested in what the perspective is about our president here.
What I say, you know, is we were very focused these 6 years in what happens in our country. And so far I know from Donald Trump, he's the history, he's a businessman, and he has hotels in Atlantic City and a couple of business. And it's good for some countries and some economies, and somebody not conservative to take the control. If it's better that some businessmen reopen the business, rebuilding, and it's good. I feel good for him. You know, he tried to build the wall. It's okay, no problem for us, because we have to try to do the best for us in home.
Well, and that's interesting, because we've had this conversation in past years. You and I and Ron have had this conversation about immigrants. And we know from what you've told us that in Mexico, you can't walk over the border in Mexico and just live here and get government benefits. That doesn't happen. So the people coming up from your southern border,
from El Salvador, right, from
Nicaragua, they can't just walk in and be part of your country. So you have made it so that Mexico is a country with its rules about immigration. And and in fact, the people say that if we wanted to move here, we would have to prove some things to your government about our value to Mexico. I think that that's all that we're asking for in the United States. Come through a port of entry and state your case and, you know, do the things in the right way. And the American people in no way dislike Mexico or the Mexican people. What we don't like is the people running over the border, as you say, especially with drugs or with the MS-13 gangs and those types of things.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree, yeah. Yeah, we have to check the border from the south of Mexico, too. You know, the way you say people from Salvador, Guatemala, they're using their country to go to the United States, but sometimes they find a job here and they stay, you know, the way you say, illegal. The people have to get the FN3 or FN2, you know, regulations
yes.
to stay here living in Mexico.
And you don't want those people that come from your southern border to take jobs away from Mexicans.
Would be not fair.
Yeah, right. it would be not fair.
Yeah.
And but still, I have customers and friends. They're from Argentina. They live in Mexico City, and I have friends. People works from Venezuela. Works in DF, in Mexico City. You know, people from Central America. But the way I say, you know, I think López Obrador, he want to start a new age, a new future. And have, you know, to build in a nice, good jobs, you know, for better future for
the
people.
And that sounds absolutely wonderful. And I'm really excited with the new presidential election, and especially the fact that we have two businessmen that are now leaders of our nations. And with me, it's all about the art of the deal and making the proper negotiation to move both of our countries forward economically and to see prosperity for all of our citizens.
Perfect.
Right. And the news that I've read, and this is where we get in to what we call our fake media and our fake news in the United States. So we never know what's true. You really have to filter through it to see what's true and what's not true. So what we've heard...
Well, they got a little construction here at the marina.
They do. So what we've heard is that your new president says that he's going to let the people come up through Guatemala and so forth and get to the United States, and he's going to try to do that as a thing against President Trump. I'm hoping that that's not true. I don't think that's going to benefit either country. But to our point about your new president and our new president is that they both are businessmen, and we hope that they act like it and meet together, because both of our countries have everything to gain.
Exactly. We have a big relationship for many years. And I'm very happy with that, because we are very nice, good neighbors and good friends. And the televisions in Mexico always say what is good for the government and the time running, never say the real truth. The truth is they say only maybe 10%.
Right.
You know, because sometimes they don't pay much tax, so they have favors.
Right, and you said there were some other big businesses in Mexico that pay very little or no tax. Can you name just a couple of those? That
Many years ago, when I was reading a newspaper, La Jornada, the University of Mexico, their request to the government, to the tax government, to open the books, to show which companies, certain companies like Bimbo, like a Telmex, like the Cements, Mexico Cements, like the Corona, and Telmex, like Carlos Salinas, Carlos Slim, to open the book to see how much they pay tax, and they pay tax. And they never open. They never ever able to
so
open.
So no transparency.
Books. No transparency.
Yeah.
And we're talking about approximately 5 years ago, when I have a coffee in the city, mm-hmm. the big city, and I just took my wife to see his mother and the family, and I was killing time, so I bought the newspaper and see what they say, and that's where I find it.
Well, speaking of coffee, let's hold that thought, and let's have another cup of this wonderful Mexican coffee.
You got it.
Good. Thank you.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. If you'd like to find out what forensic criminologists really do in the field, and you're tired of the false narratives about law enforcement and want to unpack the cases that I've worked throughout the nation, then please pick up a copy of my new book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, on sale right now at Amazon.com. That's The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police at Amazon.com.
Tired of watching the same old sporting events? Well, kick it up a notch and get ready, America, for something you've never seen before. It's the new generation of Western superstars. Shorty Gorham's American Freestyle Bullfighting. Who will win? The acrobatic, tough-as-nails Western superstar or the meanest half-ton fighting bulls on Earth? This is one of the most extreme sports you'll ever see in an arena. This is hand-to-horn combat on a level playing field. Go to ShortyGorhamAFB.com or find them on Facebook. It's bullfighting time.
Well, we're all filled up on Mexican coffee now, and I love it. And you know what? The view here is absolutely spectacular from your office, Carlos. You just have the best place to work. So you're looking right at all the boats and the marina.
Oh, the beautiful yachts. I'm telling you, you got the million-dollar view.
Yeah, it's just gorgeous. The weather is perfect. The food is perfect. So I'm a really happy camper tonight. And, you know, this is something that people don't know about Puerto Vallarta, is that this is one of the safest cities we mentioned, really, in all of Mexico, or the safest city in all of Mexico. It's located on the Bay of Banderas, and behind it is what are the mountains?
The Sierra Madre Mountains, that comes all the way from Chihuahua, Copper Canyon, Durango, Nayarit, and then Jalisco. We're very lucky to have the Sierra Madre Mountains, because that's one of the reasons we are very safe from the hurricanes.
Oh.
They're protected. When they come from the south side, from Acapulco, Manzanillo, when they come in and they get bigger, so they splash to the mountains and they go away. Or they'll go north. That's, you know, but Puerto Vallarta is very protected on that, safe in the hurricanes. And Puerto Vallarta is pretty safe too and nice, like where you say the marina. We got some nice boats, beautiful sailboats, fishing boats, luxury boats. And it's pretty safe to come to Puerto Vallarta and walk in the Marina Malecon or go to the lighthouse, to the bar, have a cup of beer or coffee. It's very, very good restaurants, Mexican food, ceviche, chilaquiles, enchiladas, mahi-mahi fish, which is really good. And also we have different options. We have Italians, we have Chinese, and a lot of meat. Sonora meat is what is very delicious.
You've got great steaks here, that's for sure.
Boy, I'll tell you, everything just tastes fantastic here, because you don't put the steroids and all the additives that the Americans put in our food. This is the real taste.
And it's all fresh, and everything is seasoned with spices, so they're not using the oils and the butters and all the things that we use. It's not frozen. It's just completely fresh and so, so tasty. Love it. Carlos, in your business, tell us about your business here and what you do, because I know that Ron and I really have enjoyed over the years working with you and being able to rent sailboats and go out on the bay and enjoy the day. So tell us all about what you do.
We are huge fans, and we want other people to know all about you and the services that you offer.
Thank you very much. And the way you say, you know, I try to do the best for me to helping the people have a great, great, and wonderful time in Puerto Vallarta. We provide with light jackets, beers, guacamole, and tequila, and nice boats, different auctions, and we are open for the time that they want to go to the little islands and come back. We provide most everything to make very nice pleasure and a wonderful trip to our friends, like you've been doing in the past.
You know, a couple of the things that we absolutely love about your company is, first of all, you're so user-friendly. It's all about the relationship. It's all about customer service. And we've done a couple of things that we really like. We've brought the entire familia out here, and we've rented a big 40-foot sailboat, and we've gone through all the different islands and Los Arcos and everything. But we've also gone out in whale season, and we've taken a smaller 30-foot sailboat and spent the whole day following the whales. Let's talk about some of those things.
Yeah, Vallarta, we are in a very glorious and very beautiful area in the tropical Cancer, which the whales are here in at the end of November, middle of December, all the way to February and March. And we got a lot of beautiful sea life, like turtles, manta rayas, nightmares, dolphins, bottlenose, and all kind of fish, which is very beautiful, attractive, and the weather is very, very nice. And we go to the island, the way you say, you went to the, where they make the movie, the Night of Iguana.
The Night of Iguana, right? Liz Taylor and Burton.
Yeah, we do the snorkeling there, the beautiful rocks, nice and pretty safe, and we do for diving and snorkeling and kayaks and surf paddles. And then we go to the little white sand, blue water, Las Animas, which is the white sand, beautiful, clean, and they have very good, delicious seafood and Mexican food there. And as you remember, I don't know if you do the parasailing there.
That's probably one of the only things that we haven't done in Mexico. We've done parasailing. We just haven't done it in Mexico. And then you also have Rhythms of the Night. What's that all about?
The Rhythms of the Night is so beautiful that it's just a night trip in the sunset. But we depart from the boat, from the main marina by Walmart and Sam's in Liverpool, the Terminal Maritima, where the big cruise ship's parking. So we depart by almost in the sunset and catch the sunset in the middle of the bay, and they turn to the little left to the island with these only torches illuminated by...
There's no electricity on the island.
Yes, no electricity. Everything is by natural environment, and they have a great dinner buffet with mahi-mahi, red snapper.
Yeah, it's one of the best.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's wine and margaritas, piñas coladas, Bloody Mary. Is one of the TripAdvisor's number one tours, Rhythms of the Night, to do it. And also these guys do the big show of the Aztecs, the contemporary.
A beautiful show. Cultural show.
Yeah, the pre-Hispanic culture, the natives from the Mexico. Yeah, and these guys also brought a couple of choreographers from the Cirque du Soleil to help us to upgrade the
performance.
We'll
have to come back and see the update show.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You know,
it's
one of the things that I like when we have gone, and we've gone by ourselves and we've taken family members, mm-hmm. is when you pass by, I love it when you say it's a sunset cruise, because when you pass by the city of Puerto Vallarta and El Central, you can watch all the lights of the city come on.
You're right.
And it's absolutely gorgeous.
Well, and I will say that Puerto Vallarta, again, out of anywhere that we have traveled, has the most beautiful sunsets almost nightly, no matter what time of the year. Just absolutely beautiful sunsets. It's a very romantic city, kind of an artsy city, and just so enjoyable. The other thing that you do that we've done with you several times is the zip lining.
Oh, one of my favorites. Yeah. Let's talk about zip lining.
The zip line is real life at the Tarzan movie. But it is very nice in the south side in the canyon. We have a small canyon past the bay, the road to Manzanillo. That's where the big mountains are starting. And that's a great adventure, safe, very good, clean, good service, good attentions, and insurance included, of course.
Of course, because it's not for the weak at heart. I know we've done Vallarta Adventures, and you're up about 600 feet in the air, and you do also the Superman.
Superman,
oh, yeah. And this company, this zip line, the Superman, they are great every year. They do a lot of things different. It makes it more exciting, more interesting, and nice, and relive the people. Very, very good. And we say that walking at night times in the Malecón is pretty safe, very nice, beautiful, a lot of art, a lot of artists, a lot of beautiful people around walking, shows.
It is always so active. I kind of refer to it at night as the Disneyland for adults, because there's acrobatic acts going on. There's mimes.
The mimes are amazing.
I mean, the food is all out there. You're going past all the brightly lit nightclubs and restaurants and bars. People are so friendly. And I remember a couple of years ago, the International Association of Tourist Advisors rated Puerto Vallarta the number one friendliest town in the world.
And a very open mind.
And I'll tell you what, you have got so many wonderful things that you do in your business for the tourists, the ATVs, the sailboat rides, the whale watching, the snorkeling, the kayaking. I mean, not only for couples and groups, but for families. it's just, I mean, you're sort of a one-stop shopping center for all things tourist.
We try to do the best and very honest and, you know, to do the best service and quality and take care of the people very well, you know, try to make the most wonderful trip in their life here with us in our company and in Puerto Vallarta too, you know.
And Carlos, how do people that are interested in these amazing tourist events through you, how do they get a hold of you to book these types of things?
Normally, I start in the beginning approaching the people right here, Soxayo, my office in the marina, and then I open my website by Google and then Facebook, and I recommend the recommendations by mouse for all people from Chicago, New York, California, like you beautiful people from California and Texas. You know, and I appreciate all my friends' recommendations from everybody from America, United States. I'm very
happy.
What is
your website?
My website is www.cepedasailingandtours.com.
Okay, so www.cepedasailingandtours.com.
And we'll make sure that we post something
we'll
on
post
our
that
Talking
on our
While
Facebook.
Absolutely, on our Talking While Married site. Listen, I wanted to tell a personal story about Carlos and how we first met, because it is typical of the wonderful Mexican friends that we have met in Puerto Vallarta. We had flown into Puerto Vallarta, and Linda loves to read her Kindle book, right? And you had left that on the Alaskan Airlines flight, and then we realized once we got to our place that you didn't have that. And we were having, what was it, breakfast here at the marina. And we ended up meeting Carlos and talk. Did I do this wrong? Did I tell the story wrong? Tell the story. You've got the better memory.
Well, you can finish your story, then I'll tell you how we really met Carlos.
Oh, go ahead. Okay, then you take over.
No, but the point of your story is that Carlos took us to the airport
and we, it was the
got
first
my
day
Kindle
we met
back.
Him.
No, actually, how we met Carlos was you and I booked a tour to Rhythms of the Night.
Yes.
Through
yes.
somebody else. And when we went to go to Rhythms of the Night, there was no tour there for us. And they basically ripped us off. And then we found Carlos, but you actually weren't doing this at the time, Carlos. You were doing something else when we very first met you.
No, I were here in my office. And you're having breakfast in the restaurant.
See, Linda.
And you're asking to
you're right.
My
you're
friends.
Absolutely right. We asked, you are more right than we are. And we did. We were having breakfast and we asked who could give us a tour. And that was because we got ripped off by the other guy.
And the waiter went down and got Carlos and brought him back, right?
Yeah, I'm very happy for the waiter and you to meet all together.
And we've been friends now for, what, well over 10 years.
Well, let me just finish it off, because Carlos, who we had just met, offered to take us all the way back to the airport, which isn't far away, but he offered to take us to the airport. We ended up getting your Kindle and coming back, and a friendship was made, and we took you and your lovely wife out to dinner at a wonderful restaurant that night. You remember, we just had a great time.
La Vista.
La Vista.
La Vista restaurant.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. It's a great dinner.
And it's been a good friendship, and one of the big reasons why it has stayed a friendship is because we know that we can count on Carlos for anything. And we also know that he is beyond honest. He is as honest as you could be. And not everybody in every business is. And we want to work with people, and we want to send our friends to people who will give you that great adventure at a fair price and do what they say they're going to do, which is always our mantra run in business. Just give the customer more than they expect. And that is Carlos's way of doing business, which is why we have a great relationship. We have sent a lot of people here, and there's not been a one that are not happy.
You know, I want to talk
about
the fishing trips that Carlos puts together, because I guess it's the second year now. So 2 years ago, our boy Danny came down here with friends and went right to Carlos to put together a beautiful fishing trip. Carlos, do you remember that trip?
Yes, absolutely.
and
catch a nice fish.
Oh, it wasn't just a nice fish. He caught a marlin.
The largest marlin.
In 10 years ever caught in Puerto Vallarta. And yeah. He's got that marlin hanging up in his
which
apartment.
Which takes his entire wall because he's in a small apartment. But yeah, that was a great trip. And we told Carlos our son is coming back down here in a few weeks and is going to be looking him up to do that. A repeat performance of that fish.
And you know, I want to just change gears for a second. Still talking about the city. But you know me, I'm a foodie, and I just don't think we've talked enough about the
food. can never talk enough about food.
about the food in Puerto Vallarta. Literally, there are over 640 different restaurants in the city of Puerto Vallarta. Every different imaginable type of food can be found in this city. Carlos, can you tell us, we have a few of our favorite restaurants, but can you mention a few restaurants and some of the good places and maybe a couple of tourist tips of where they can go to get local goodies here?
Oh, we have great Mexican food on the Malecón. It's called La Chata de Guadalajara. It's a really, really good food. It's excellent. And also we have a Vista Grill. They have a very good Mexican food. El Dorado. El Dorado on Los Muertos Beach, El Dorado, La Palapa, is serving a good Mexican food. It's really, really good. And also we have a Spain's food, too. We have Barcelona Tapas.
Oh, we've been up there.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, excellent.
That's nice for sunsets.
Beautiful view.
And then we have a place we call Café de Sortis. It's international food, but it's really, really, really good.
Yes.
And also we have a restaurant. It's called... It's by his name, Pipis.
Oh, Pipis.
Yes.
Oh, Pipis El Pastor?
Pipis.
Oh, just Pipis.
Pipis. That's okay. Where they had the margaritas and strawberry.
Yes.
And the chicken fajitas. And yeah,
what is
very
the name?
Good.
Is it Bacha's that's right down, right here in the marina? What's the one with the gigantic margaritas, the biggest ones I've ever seen in my life?
Bacha's and his cousin have a restaurant next door. It's called Victor's.
Okay.
Victor, we have a free shot of tequila for your meal. yeah, it's a true. But Bacha's, you're right. They have a bigger margaritas.
Yeah.
In Puerto Vallarta.
And good food. Well, we definitely have our favorites here. And we always kind of pre-plan where we're going to go because, oh gosh, there's just so many good places here in town to go. You almost can't go wrong.
Well, I'll tell you what. This has been a wonderful visit with our good friend Carlos. Carlos, thank you so much for talking about politics and talking about the future of Mexico and the food.
Thanks to you, amigos. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, good luck with your new president.
Yes, we are sure we're going to have a nice age, a nice future for all Mexicans, not just for a small group, for everybody. Most Mexicans, everybody, all Mexicans will be back.
And listen, I got to give you another plug. People are crazy if they don't come down to Puerto Vallarta to have a beautiful, safe vacation. Then they have to come out to the Marina Vallarta, and they have to visit Carlos's business and book some beautiful tourist tours. They are life experiences.
Thank you
very
much.
And we will definitely post it on the Talking While Married Facebook.
Thanks, Carlos.
Mexico is waiting for you, amigas.
The Out and Out Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Well, it was great to talk to Carlos. We had to let him go home to his family because it's a little late in the evening and he's off work. But great Mexican coffee. I don't think I can have any more of that, though. Two is my limit.
Well, I got to tell you something. It may be time to end the coffee, but it's time to begin the Cerveza Modelo Especial.
Okay, well, that's on you.
And you know what? After we finish our conversation tonight, I'm heading for the pool because the weather's still fantastic.
The weather is fantastic, and I'll be right there in that pool with you. So, you know, what have we learned in the last few days here? And it's a little bit of an eye-opener, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's just been fascinating because one of the things that I really like about the relationships that we make with people when we travel internationally, and especially in Mexico, is that people are people all over the world.
They are. They're very much the same all over the world, aren't they?
Yeah, and family people are the same way. They care about their jobs. They care about their families. It's family first. And they just want to do better in their lives, and they want their kids to do better, too.
Yeah, and you know, the things that are interesting here in Puerto Vallarta, and I'm sure in much of Mexico, is some of our misconceptions that we have in the United States. One of them being that the Mexicans don't want us to build the wall. Well, I've got to tell you that there has not been anybody here who has said that they don't want us to build the wall. They've said they really don't care if we build the wall. It doesn't really affect them and their lives. The people that are running over that border are not them. They do feel that the people that are coming over the border are endangering themselves and endangering their children by doing so because of the coyotes and the problems that happen and the treacherous trek that they take. So really their take, honestly, is very similar to ours. And all that they want is, like you say, they want a family, they want a decent income to support that family, and a normal life just like we all want.
And you know, they understand why people that don't have education, don't have any skill sets, right, don't have any real employable skills, want to sneak across the border to the United States where they can make wages. And you know, it's so interesting because we have spoken with the common working man, we've spoken with taxi cab drivers, we've talked with waiters in restaurants, we've spoken to people in the grocery stores, we've spoken with our own personal friends like Carlos, and he's also a business person. And everybody seems to be on the same sheet of music with regards to our immigration problem. They understand why people are doing it. They also have all agreed that they protect their own border from people crossing from, you know, countries like El Salvador, San Salvador, Guatemala, Nicaragua, you know, countries that are in peril and are unstable. They protect their own country.
And much better than we do, in fact. So if you are a person that wants to come to Mexico to become a citizen, you have to go through a process just as you do in the United States. But even more, you have to prove what value you bring to Mexico. So they do not take kindly to people coming across their border and staying here.
And taking their jobs.
Exactly. And they don't put up with it. So they will take you back to that border and deport you. They don't do what we do. They don't give you free health care. They don't give you free education.
Free driver's licenses, yeah, free medical care, free education, free housing.
Right.
They provide none of that because they don't want to enable illegal aliens crossing their borders.
Exactly. So they absolutely understand our dilemma in the United States. And they feel that we have every right to protect our borders as well. So it's interesting that the hubbub that goes on in our media about the poor people that we are disenfranchising, or whatever you want to call it, in the United States
is not the way that Mexico actually feels.
That's exactly right. And another misconception that people in the United States have is they think like some Mexican people, or maybe most Mexican people, are lazy. And, you know, they come across the border and they use up all of our resources. And I don't think I've ever seen a harder working people in my entire life. And, you know, we've been down here for 15 years. We've lived down here for, 14 of those 15 years. And we see nothing but hard-working Mexican people of all walks of life.
And they work very long hours. The person that serves you in a restaurant your breakfast is still going to be the same person that's serving you your dinner. They have very long hours. The person that cleans your room in a hotel in Mexico makes about 50 cents an hour, $4 a day. And, you know, their economy has been very depressed. So they're very, very hopeful with their new president. And they do feel that he is a businessman. You know, they feel for their president. It's just like we feel for President Trump. So we hired a businessman to be our president. They hired a businessman to be their president now. They are hopeful that those two businessmen can make some things happen that will benefit both countries.
And you know, you put your finger right on it when you said hopeful. The people that we spoke with almost unanimously voted for this new president.
They're very excited.
And they're excited because they believe that this person will lead them into a new era of a budding economy, higher wages, reducing the level of corruption that is in Mexico that they believe has held everybody back, the corporate conflicts of interest with the Mexican politicians over the last three or four presidents. And they want to get rid of these cartels, which is another misconception of the American public.
Right. They really want to feel safe in their homes and their cities and walking their streets. And that's a really big deal to them. And that's no different than us in the United States.
And what was interesting to me in talking with as many people as we've spoken with here is about half of them have been touched in some way by cartel violence.
Exactly.
We've talked to people that had members of their family kidnapped for ransom. Mm-hmm. People that have gone across the border and have been robbed by coyotes and by other Mexican bandidos. And it's just... they just want the system changed. They just want to live in peace and have a better economy for everybody.
You know, it was interesting. One of the taxi drivers was telling us that he used to live in San Bernardino, California, and he worked. He made about $16 a day.
Right.
And or an hour. I'm sorry, $16 an hour there. And here in Mexico, he makes $14 a day. And so we said, why did you come back here? He said, family. My family is first.
And, you know, we had such an amazing conversation with him. At the end of the day, we tipped him an extra $10. And you know what? That's two-thirds of his wage for today. And we said, you know, take lunch on us. And he just laughed and was, you know, God bless you. And he was very thankful. But I didn't see, and he had the same amount of kids that we have. He had four kids. And they were just slightly younger, but all in their 20s. And it was about family for him. And to leave California, where he was getting a much higher wage, to come back to Mexico, you can really feel for a guy like that. But at the same time, you've got to applaud that man for his devotion to his family.
Well, and they're the nicest people, and they are. They're, you know, the one difference I will say in our travels is in Mexico, people are very Christian in Mexico, a very Catholic country. And, you know, you just really feel that the effect that religion in people's lives and God in people's lives, you can really feel that when you travel. And you can feel that in these people that they just, first of all, they're a happy people. I feel that they're happy when we're here.
You know, even when they work as hard as they do, they're far more laid back than Americans.
Yeah, they are.
And they've got that down.
And they're very, very smart. I mean, the banking system here, to me, I love going to the bank here because the people are so smart and they're so good at their jobs and very welcoming. you know, I don't feel like a number when I walk into the bank.
Right.
I feel like a valued customer. And even though we have hardly anything in the bank in Mexico, it doesn't matter. None of that matters. It's just the way they treat you. Servers here in the restaurants serve you far better than they serve you in the United States in most restaurants. So it's just a different work ethic. But ultimately, you know, like you say, people are kind of all the same wherever we go.
Well, you know, the other thing that I thought was fascinating, because we do so much media work between us, is they have a fake news just like we have a fake news.
Right, and they complain about it just like we complain about it. And you know, I just want to reiterate one thing that I think is so important. They do not feel that the people that are coming across our borders are the best of them. That's honestly how they feel. And it's not your upstanding, you know, banker and restaurant worker and taxi driver that's running over our border. It is the MS-13s. It is the drug users. It certainly is people that, you know, are stuck in between those things. Like maybe they live in Juarez or a city that has a lot of cartel problems and so forth, and they are fearful. But it is not the productive citizens running over the border, as our media would lead us to believe. It is people that, you know, have issues one way or another that they are escaping. They are very hopeful that this new president will raise the income of people and provide more jobs and really stop that flow over the border.
Well, you know, they also acknowledge that the politicians on both sides, meaning the United States and Mexico, have done little to repair the problems between the two countries, and we're talking about not necessarily political problems, but economic problems. And they've really gone nowhere with this. They believe they've had a tremendous amount of corruption on their side with conflicts of interest with their corporate Mexico. And they see our politicians, and absolutely correctly, as being inactive and disengaged in trying to work with the Mexican government to find solutions so that both economies can be fixed. And, you know, one of the things that we were talking with one of our friends here about, and that was the Bracero program. And the Bracero program, going back to the 50s and 60s, is when we allowed Mexican national, and they were primarily farm workers, and we gave them visas, work visas, where they could come across the border twice a year for 3 months at a time, usually during harvest and pre-harvest, to work in the fields. And we would provide free housing for them. We wouldn't provide education or any entitlements for their families or anything, but it allowed them to come across the border, work temporarily, make better wages than they did in Mexico, and then go back home. And that worked out pretty good. And we talked about reinstalling that program mm-hmm. now with higher wages for the Mexican workers so that it really cuts down tremendously on the drive to come across the border illegally. It gives them a higher wage. It allows that money to return back to Mexico,
exactly,
which is a tremendous driving force and would create such a better relationship between the Mexican people and the American people.
And it's interesting that I don't hear anybody in our government anywhere talking about reinstituting that program, which was a good program. Instead, you know, we want to give them free education, free healthcare, free everything, and really discourage people from coming over the border that are the ones that we need to work. And they're also, you know, enabling people that really we don't want coming over the border to come and stay.
And, you know, that was something that Pablo, our server last night at the restaurant, said. They do not like the fact that Mexicans come across the border and want free everything. And they don't want their own government to provide a lot of free entitlements for Mexican people. They want those people to work, to be better educated. They want their government to do more work on trying to educate the uneducated and low job skilled Mexicans because there's a lot of different states in Mexico. They're not all places like Puerto Vallarta or Mexico City. There are, you know, places that are impoverished where people need education and job skills. And by the way, did you notice how he said that the that the wages are so depressed that people are actually leaving Mexican agriculture?
Well, they are, and that's sad because it's one of the things that they all seem to feel, that if the government's going to support some program for the people, it should be that one, because everybody needs food.
Well, the agriculture economy in Mexico is a huge economy, but there is so much land in Mexico that has not been turned into agriculture that... I mean, that economy in and of itself could grow tremendously.
Right. Well, they're very hopeful, and we're very hopeful for them. And what all of us are hopeful, we from the United States and the people here that we've spoken to are all hopeful that our two presidents can come together. We already have heard, and so have they heard, by the way, that President Trump immediately reached out to their new president and congratulated him on the win, and said he looked forward to working with him. So that's a good start.
Hey, can I say something else, sweetheart?
Sure.
Because one of the things that I thought was fascinating is that the Mexican people don't dislike Donald Trump.
Oh, no, they don't. They actually respect him.
Yeah, there wasn't a single person, okay? And we've spoken to a lot of people while we've been here. There wasn't a single person that disliked our president of the United States. They like the fact that he's a businessman. They like the fact he speaks his mind. Like you said, they don't have a problem with the wall. And all of that just seems to be that fake news from the mainstream media and people driving that negative conversation that we're seeing right now.
Yeah, and isn't that interesting? Because that is not the response that you and I expected.
I was totally blown away. But you know what that means? That means that even you and I, that are fairly down to earth and pay attention to, you know, news all over the world, mm-hmm. and of course you and I both work with the media, we are still negatively affected by the fake news media.
Absolutely. So this has been really, really interesting. And I've enjoyed it immensely.
Well, you know, we've got several more days here, and I am absolutely looking forward to eating at some of the great restaurants in Puerto Vallarta, but now it's time to hit the pool.
Okay.